Good evening. The last time, I'm not sure if it was last year or a couple of years ago that I used this Luke text to preach. I preached a sermon, Bring Your Ass to Jesus. I thought that was too popular of a sermon to try and repeat it, so I won't do that again today. Now let's pray. God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the gift of laughter, and we thank you for this Palm Sunday as we remember Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which led to a week, a memorable week in the life and the history of the Christian faith. And we pray that as we begin this holy week, that we will be mindful of Christ's love for each of us and make attempt to share that love with others. Amen. Amen. The New Testament scripture before us today mentions two small villages, Bethany and Bethpage. These villages lay across the Kidron Valley and were located on the hillside, on the southern slope of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem. It was from this location that Jesus and his disciples headed to enter the city on what was now called Palm Sunday. And we have our palm branches and we're waving them. They would have allowed the road around the crest, they would have traveled rather around the road, the crest of the hill until they came to the top of the Mount of Olives. And from the top of the Mount of Olives, they would have been able to look across this valley to the magnificent city, its massive temples that were on the other side of this valley. We don't know how many people were in the crowd that day. Some scholars think the crowd was relatively small, no more than a few hundred. They say that if it were more significant than a few hundred, it would have come to the notice of the Roman authorities, and the Roman authorities would have squashed any attempt to violate the 14th Amendment insurrection ban and put an immediate stop on any attempt to coup d'etat incident attack against Jerusalem. Y'all didn't even catch that. But others say that at the time of the year, this is evidence that there could have been a very large crowd that was gathered because the population in Jerusalem would swell around that time, maybe five times the population normally, because people would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. So it may have been that Jesus, in the midst of those significant surges of people on the city of Jerusalem, experienced a time where hundreds, possibly even thousands of people were there at this time. We don't know how large the crowd may have been, but however many there were, we certainly know that within that crowd, some were devoted to Jesus and some were not. Some were filled with enthusiasm and excitement and found themselves cheering Jesus on his way. We know too that others present in that same crowd, in that same region, found the focus of praise and excitement about Jesus to be distasteful. They found it to be out of place. They found it to be something that should be stopped. And the same is actually true today. Not everybody in the crowd is a follower of Christ, and that's okay. Not everyone in the crowd is a follower of Christ. Some of those in the crowd may even disapprove of the kind of behavior that turned out to be what Jesus was addressing in this text. Jesus says, if these hold their peace, if they're quiet, then the very stones would cry out and worship me. Jesus is saying that there are some times when no one speaks, that someone else or something else needs to speak out. There's sometimes where something must be said. There are times when something must be said. Now, that doesn't mean that there are no times of silence. There is a time when there is nothing more to say, when words do no good. There are times like that in our lives, when words, in fact, harm the situation that we are attempting to heal. Sometimes silence is the most important gift that we can give. At times, navigating life is a bit like dancing. It's all about knowing when to step and when to step forward and when to step backwards in dancing. Or in some cases, when to stay completely still. And by still, I mean completely silent. There are certain situations where the wisest course of action is simply to hold our tongue and let silence speak volumes. Like when emotions are running high, when you're not informed enough to make a really good informed decision, when our words may harm more than help, when silence itself is the answer, when words won't change a situation, when you need to listen more than you need to speak, when you need to speak up. You say, when you need to speak up, you should be silent. Wait, what are you saying? Still silent? I know it sounds really counterintuitive, but let me explain. In the mindfulness practice, we learn the importance of not just speaking, but intentionally speaking, intentional action, or in the case of intentional speech. This means that before we speak, we take a moment to pause and then to reflect on our words. And we take a moment to reflect on the potential of our words and the potential impact of our words. If we're in a situation where we feel the urge to react immediately, perhaps we're upset or we feel attacked. And it's often wiser to stay silent for a moment. This pause gives us the chance to collect our thoughts and to calm our emotions and to decide the best response to give. This doesn't mean you shouldn't stay silent indefinitely. Rather, it's about giving yourself a space to respond instead of just react. I heard a story about a famous preacher who was invited over a woman's house to visit her, and she happens to be dying of cancer. And the preacher, she was the wife of a famous football player, and this preacher was a famous preacher. And so he went over there believing that, you know, with his theological training, that he was going to say something profound about death and profound about cancer. And from the time he entered the door, the woman started to talk. And she talked for 45 minutes without taking a breath, it seemed. And then she turned to the preacher and she said, "Let's pray." And then she asked the preacher to be quiet as she prayed, and she prayed, and then she said, "We're done." And the preacher left. And the next day, the preacher saw a friend of theirs, and the friend said, "You don't know how much you helped Karen that night." He said, "I didn't say anything." And the friend said, "You didn't have to say anything. It was your presence that made the difference in her life." There are times when we need to be silent, but there are times when we need to speak. There are times when something must be said, when the silence is deafening, or when the silence is self-defeating. Winston Churchill once said, "Courage is what it takes to sit down and listen, but courage is also what it takes to stand up and speak." There's a time when we must put into words what is lingering deep within us, and this is true at difficult moments, and this is also true at moments filled with emotions and moments filled with joy. Sometimes we have problems that need to be resolved, which will not be resolved if we don't speak about them. Whether there is a resolution or not, we find comfort in just discussing them, the preacher and the professor, or the professor who went to visit the woman who was dying of cancer had to learn how to listen. But the woman needed to speak. She had something to say. She had something to get off her chest. And she did not need to be stopped in her conversation. There was no way out, no escape. There was no resolution for her suffering. There was nothing that that preacher could do to take away her anguish and pain. But still, a remarkable sense of relief and release came as she just spoke and he just listened. But there are also those times when problems are going around and around in our head, and it's only when we put them into words, it's only when we speak them out loud that we find the solutions, that we find a way through that seems to be a dead end. There's times when something has to be said, like when you're trying to restore a relationship. There's a time when something needs to be said, when relationships have been broken and there is a mutual desire for restoration. At this point, who is at fault is really not the primary concern. What needs to be said is something that will build this relationship back up that is ruptured. There are times when something needs to be said, like when you're making a decision. Some of those times are moments in which decisions have to be made, in which the sides of a situation needs to be voiced, whether people want to agree or not, when people want to hear the different sides or not. Those sides need to be voiced when you're trying to make an individual corporate decision for your family or for a church or for an organization. Something needs to be said when there is injustice. There are times of injustice, decisions when something has to be said. And if we don't speak, who will? There are times of celebration where something needs to be said. It is true in times of difficulty. It is true in times of decisions. And it is true when we're trying to rebuild relationships. But there are also times when we are celebrating that something needs to be said. Probably this is a less rational, more emotional time. But we need to say what we need to say, and we need to say what we're feeling. When we just heard a beautiful concert, beautiful music, a moving message of some kind, or even members of an audience that felt something, that you just participated in something amazing, an excellent performance, an excellent program. We think at the end of something like that, that there's this impulse in us, or there should be. We want to clap. We want to say amen. Why don't we just try it? Amen. We want to stand up. We want to shout because something has happened. Something has moved us. Something has happened. Something that's different. Something that's unique. And something has to be said. There are those moments when we need to be silent, but there are those moments where we need to say something. And Palm Sunday was such a moment when something had to be said, something had to be done, something inside had to come on the outside of those disciples. It was a moment by Jesus' own admission, which if they were silent, the rocks would cry out. If humans had failed, creation would have responded. But why? Why was it such a situation where something had to emerge, something had to be said? What happened here that led to such a climax where Jesus would not silence those who were declaring his praise. Many different answers could be given, and many different answers have been given by scholars, but let me just briefly lift up two possible answers with you today. The first has to do with truth. It has to do with saying something one knows which needs to be placed on the table because it is an objective fact. The point is this case was that they were approaching Jerusalem, riding on a donkey was the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what the text says. Like no other, the God-sent king of humankind. This was not one event among many. Often people would approach Jerusalem. They had done this for many years. For years after years, but this time was different according to the text. It was a once in a lifetime, once in history event that would have gone wrong if someone did not say something. To not say anything would have been a denial of the truth of who Jesus claimed he was. Something had to be said. And I believe in the first place, because Jesus knew it to be true. The crowd's words, blessed is he who what? Comes in the name of the Lord. Something had to be said. In the second place, because the experience that some of those in the crowd had in the past 3 years had changed their life. Their experience with Jesus had changed their life. And it was reaching at this point a climax, and they felt that within them they had to respond, that the bubble needed to burst. They had been participating in something quite extraordinary, not just ordinary, but extraordinary. They had received wisdom, they had received healing, they had received provision, they had received love and hope, and they knew it. And it was deep within inside of them. And that was deep inside of them had to find a way to come out. And it would have been wrong for them to keep it inside of themselves. The wonder, the marvel, it had to flow out. Kind of like when we experience those amazing experiences in life, whether it's childbirth or an event or your favorite team, Yale, beating someone in the NCAA basketball tournament. It has to come out. The excitement has to come out. Maybe that's what Jesus was saying, that their experience was an experience that was not meant for them alone. But it was for all of them. It was for all of us, you and me as well. And what Jesus was declaring, that as we pursue Jesus with our lives, as you and I, we're not merely to take an academic interest in Jesus, though that's a part of it. We're not merely to be disinterested bystanders. Looky-loos. We're not merely to keep our lives at a respectable distance. That's what Jesus is challenging us in this text to do. But what Jesus is challenging us to do is that we are to be like the crowd. If Jesus has impacted our life in any way, we are to be like the crowd, to be total participants in the life of Jesus. Total participants in the celebration until his wisdom, his advice, his healing, his health, his provision, his love, his challenge for us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. His challenge moves us. His challenge changes us. His challenge stirs us until we can no longer remain silent. Till we find it inescapable, impossible not to say something, not to join our hearts and our voices, our lives with those who cried out that first Palm Sunday? Why? Because they could not keep silent. There's a time to step back and listen. There's a time to contemplate. There's a time to speak. There's a time to shout. And there is a time to praise. And Palm Sunday reminds us of this, that you and I are invited to join the crowd. Hosanna in the highest. Because something has happened on the inside that you gotta let out on the outside. Let's pray. Thank you, gracious God, for this Palm Sunday as we remember Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Jesus entering the place of torture, entering the place of crucifixion, but also entering the place where he and we will remember and experience his resurrection. Amen.